Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. Letting that Led Zeppelin on the organ at Scott Trade Center breathe a little bit. Little cashmere there. That's awesome. So you're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan KFNS. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. There's Matt Davis over there playing the music, bringing us back. Good morning, guys. So you're listening to the second hour, the second segment of Game Time AM. If you were in your car radio earlier and you were not hearing our voices because the signal was down, screwy, we pardon our technical difficulties here on 590 The Fan. So But I know we're back on the air, and you can hear us, and you can join the conversation. You can give us a call at 855-282-8255. You can also text in at the same number and be part of the conversation.
Speaking of, I wanted to hop into the text box real quick, because we have a first-time listener who said he loved the show from the 210, which is San Antonio, Texas, apparently, on the area code. Did you know that when they first formed area codes, it was the largest cities got the easiest to dial on a rotary phone? So that's why New York is 212 and LA is 313, because that's the shortest number to dial back and forth on a rotary.
Cool. I did not know that.
And yet, bizarrely, DC is 202. So there, you know, you got a zero in there, so you have to go all the way around. And
yeah.
San Antonio, 210.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. And then the text from the 618 says he's going to podcast, but couldn't find the press box or the podcast app. Press box is definitely podcasted, so it'll be up somewhere, at least on InsideSTL.com. I know that Frank's got an iTunes page as well, I'm sure, where you can download the press box there as well.
Speaking of the phone, do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. This is Baby-O.
Hey, Baby-O. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning.
How are you doing? What's top of your mind this morning, Baby-O?
So, as a Blues fan, I'm happy, and I'm just dumbfounded.
Shocked.
Yeah, because, you know, if you look at the statistics, Minnesota has outshot us. I think the hits are about the same, but I don't really count his hits as an important statistic.
Yeah, it's, and they're subjective.
And a
too.
Little, and in fact, a little quick anecdote about that. I saw last night that, you know, because the Sharks were at home last night playing Edmonton. San Jose in the first 6 minutes of their game was credited with 23 hits last night.
That's impossible.
That's a lot.
Somebody was counting awfully aggressively in San Jose.
Yes, they were. You know, they have more takeaways than us. I mean, I know the time of they've got to be dominating in time of possession. Time of possession, they spent a lot of time in our zone. But we're up 3-0.
Bottom line results, right?
And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm trying to think back. Maybe Mike Liute or Curtis Joseph, I haven't seen a goaltending performance in a 3-game stretch like this one here.
Well,
I'm not talking about, this is a guy who faced 50 shots in one game. Now, I think it was about 24 or 25 in the second game. But he faced over 30 shots again yesterday.
So here's an interesting bit about that, because you talk about a 3-game stretch. Remember that Brent Johnson in 2002 had that stretch against the Blackhawks where he shut them out for 3 games in a row. However, and I'm trying to find the exact statistics here, but I believe, guys, I saw it over the weekend, in that 3-game shutout stretch, Brent Johnson only had to make like 55 saves.
That's
across
crazy.
3 games.
And the number here is 117 shots for the Wild so far, 114 saves for Jake Allen.
So while a 3-game shutout streak is impressive in the playoffs, when it's fewer than 60 shots against across those 3 games, it gets a little bit easier.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is, and the type of shots he's facing too. I mean, and let's face it, the Blues, the hockey gods were with the Blues yesterday too.
Yeah, you know,
I remember one time where a guy was just standing there. He had I can't remember who it was from the Wild. He had an open net on Allen's left side, and he fanned on pass. He was right there.
It was Hansel yesterday had a shot where he had a pretty wide open net and then clanged one off the post. And then Chris Stewart as well added a shot where he ended up in behind the Blues defense and threw a backhander to the net that just went right into Allen's pads. And they have gotten pretty much every bounce. In the first two games in Minnesota, the shots were kept pretty well to the outside and out of the high danger areas. But yesterday, Allen had to be very good. They definitely had a lot more opportunities close to the net and in high scoring positions. And you know, I tweeted about this during the game yesterday. He made the sort of long range glove save on Jonas Brodin near the end of the third. Jonas, I don't know. He's Swedish, so I'm gonna go with Jonas. Near the end of the third, and he kind of gave it a little bit of that Marty Brodeur Statue of Liberty, snap the glove and hold the. Yep. You know, you can just see that he's feeling it right now, and he's just there.
And if you notice during the broadcast, they have mentioned it that they mentioned the effect Brodeur has had. Just as far as his positioning and everything they were talking about, and it seems like right after what they were saying, there would be a play where Allen's positioning was altogether different, and it's his side to side movement. So Brodeur has he has had an impact on him, but let's face it, on the ice this is all Allen. And I remember when the playoffs first started, and I say this about, and it's usually the case in most series, I said that, you know, our stars are going to have to play at least equal to their stars. But, of course, Jake Allen was one of the names. And you figure if one of your stars don't play well, the goaltender has to play well.
Right.
And right now, this is what's happening.
And you can also see, you can see the reverse of that when you look at the Wild, because the first goal that the Blues scored yesterday is a shot that Dubnyk just has to stop. I mean, it's Patrick Berglund makes a fantastic play to dip through the neutral zone and get around Parise and get the pass over to Parayko, but that's a wrist shot from the top of the circles that's not screened. I mean, Dubnyk just has to stop that shot. I mean,
that was a soft goal there.
Yeah, and that's a backbreaker. Yeah. That early in the game in a series where the Wild are down, you know they want to fire out and get a lead. And 3 minutes into the game, that's a soft goal.
Hey, Baby O, thanks.
Another good thing. First of all, let's get this thing over with.
Yes.
Let's not go back to Minnesota. Let's sweep them. But what it does, there is no sense of urgency of bringing Stastny back right now.
Absolutely.
And I think that's good. That's going to, and hopefully it'll help them in the long run. But there's no way in hell, if I'm the Blues, if Stastny is ready, he's not playing this next game in St. Louis.
No.
So let's get in 100%. Like I said, if anybody would have made a bet with me that the Blues would be up 3-0 and Chicago would be down 3-0, I would have taken that bet, and I probably would have been out begging for money right now to pay it off.
There you
go. Take care, guys. It's a great day in St. Louis. The Cardinals ought to be sending the Blues a thank you card right now because they've been put on the back burner.
All right, thanks, Baby O. And by the way, the Blackhawks are down two games. They haven't played game three yet, but they could be down three. So we'll see that here. Is that tonight or tomorrow?
I believe that's this evening.
Yeah, tonight. So let's set the table here real quick. So Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, 2-hour hockey extravaganza. I think we're efforting to put up the podcast on InsideSTL.com. It's up already. Hey, so if you missed the first, if you're just waking up and you want to listen to some fine hockey talk at breakfast or for the drive-in here in a little bit on your way to work here dark and early this morning on a Monday morning, or you try to listen on your radio and you couldn't hear anything because the signal was down, go back and podcast the first hour.
And later this week, you can come by and have breakfast with us.
So we gotta mention a couple of things here. It's exciting times here on Game Time AM. So on Thursday, maybe a celebratory breakfast?
Hopefully.
See, pro tip, you gotta, if you kind of raise your voice at the end, it's...
It sounds like a question.
So if you want to meet us or just have an awesome breakfast... After the morning after game four, we are going to be broadcasting live on site for a live remote, they call it in the business, at Tim Hortons over on Lafayette Avenue near Lafayette Square. So when they open at 5 a.m., we will be set up in the corner somewhere Hopefully noshing on some Timbits.
That's going to be a day where you have to feel my pain, by the way.
Because I'm going to have to drive a lot longer.
Where the commutes get reversed.
Maybe I'll just crash on your floor or something.
The floor is cold and concrete, but feel free. That is 4 minutes from my apartment.
Four minutes? Oh, man.
Jefferson DeLoff at 4 a.m, like an arrow.
Yeah, really. Well, I'll have to be hauling butt from St. Charles County to get to Lafayette Square. So we'll be talking about Tim Hortons, their coffee, their donuts, their breakfast sandwiches, all sorts of stuff on Thursday morning. The Tim Hortons on Lafayette Avenue. More details to come, but we're really looking forward to that. And, you know, it just makes sense. You know, Tim Hortons is named after a Maple Leafs player who tragically died in a car accident. But, you know, so it's huge in Canada. They call it Timmy Ho's up there north of the border. And they're still fairly new to St. Louis, still kind of getting a foothold, and people are finding where their locations are. And it just makes sense. You know, a Canadian hockey-centric restaurant and the only 2-hour hockey show in St. Louis radio. So Tim Hortons on Thursday. So what do we need to unpack from yesterday that we haven't gotten to?
So I wanted to grab something that Baby O had said and go from there. He talked about the lack of urgency in bringing back Paul Stastny.
Yes.
And the reason that there's a lack of urgency in that, and I agree with him that I think that there's almost no chance that Stastny will play in Game 4, if for no other reason than now you have the ability to make sure he heals all the way up, is because of the play of Ivan Barbashev. He has, you know, he has not gotten onto the score sheet yet, but has been fantastic at both ends of the ice, has been tremendously defensively responsible, and even yesterday was over 50% on his faceoffs, which is huge for the Blues at this point, because both Brodziak and Patrick Berglund got whooped by Mikko Koivu yesterday. They were a combined 2-9 against Koivu in the faceoff circle yesterday.
So one of our friends, yeah, the faceoff percentage, Wild won 58% of the faceoffs yesterday, the Blues 42%.
But Barbashev and Sobotka were both over 50%. It was Berglund and Brodziak sort of struggling to keep up with, especially Koivu.
Koivu won 74% of the draws he took. Eric Staal was at 46. Hansel was at 58. Eric Halla was at 56. Jason Pominville, the only guy in the Wild to really struggle, 20% of the draws. He probably didn't take that many. Here's the thing with Barbashev. He has not looked out of place playing with Schwartz and Tarasenko. And it's easy to think that if, you know, the possibility, you know, Schwartz just has a motor that doesn't quit. He works in the corners. You know, he's a small guy, but he doesn't really play like a small guy necessarily. He doesn't shy away from contact. He doesn't shy away from those corner battles or the board battles, the 50-50 pucks. You know, he's hard-nosed in there and comes out with it more often than not. He is a perfect complement to Vladimir Tarasenko, who's kind of lurking, kind of an alligator in the weeds, where he's just waiting for his chance. And he can create things, too. He can play physical, too. He can dig the puck out, too. But on that line, that's not his job. His job is to lurk in the weeds and wait for a position, and he's ready to shoot the puck when they get it to him, when he has time and space. So really, the complement to that is, at center, you don't necessarily have to be digging the puck out. You're also not being counted on to shoot the puck necessarily, because that's the other guy's job. So really, your job is to distribute and play solid defense in your own net, in your own zone. Basically, whenever there's a rotation, the puck's behind the net, and one of the defensemen goes behind the net, and then a defenseman takes the strong side, the center kind of fills in on the backside. And they haven't been hurt by the defensive play by Barbashev at all.
And in the offensive zone, what you've also seen, and this was especially noticeable on the Edmondson overtime goal, but has been noticeable otherwise as well, he has done a really great job of selecting the places on the ice to be that will force Wild defenders to draw to him. Because what Barbashev recognizes is that he is the least dangerous of the three players on his line. So if he can force defenders to have to deal with him, then that creates space for his line mates. You saw yesterday a lot of Barbashev sort of sliding from the front of the net back to the hash marks and sort of around in that area in what they call the house, that area in front of the net that is the high danger scoring area. And the reason he's doing that is because it forces the Wild defense to adjust, and it creates space elsewhere. And the creation of space on the ice is vitally important. Again, Tarasenko doesn't have a goal yet, but he did ring a post yesterday, and he's getting his shots off. And the reason that he's able to get those shots off is because Schwartz is digging the puck out and Barbashev is creating space.
The crazy part for me is that Ivan Barbashev was not a part of the St. Louis Blues discussion for much of the first half of the season.
Right.
And it wasn't even a, hey, when's that Barbashev going to get called up? Or, hey, I really like that Barbashev. I hope he gets called up, or I hope he develops a little bit better. I mean, he was off the radar.
He had a rough season in Chicago last year, and yeah, I think he had like 30 points in 50 games and he was recalled. So not a bad season this year, but not blowing up the universe, especially when you consider that the Wolves have the two best scorers in the AHL this year.
He was no Kenny Agostino.
Right, yeah. He was no Wade Megan even, right? But Stubby Applause texts in to say that Barbashev had a play yesterday where he was dangling, going to the net, and the NBC announcers called him Tarasenko twice. He said that, I said that's a nice compliment. And
yeah.
I mean, it is.
I'd love to be mistaken for Vladimir Tarasenko, especially at the bank. But Barbashev really was off the radar. And last summer, he didn't play any organized hockey. He was kind of away from the team, away from the game. He was back home, I think, just kind of hanging out. You know, early in the days of Game Time AM, you know, like, what, 6-7 weeks ago, there was a story that came out on a Russian website that had a pretty lengthy interview where it was after Hitchcock was fired, and the interviewer tried to set Barbashev up to basically say he never thought that he was going to get a chance with the Blues while Hitchcock was head coach. And Barbashev kind of sidestepped that question, but it made it pretty obvious that's how he felt. He just didn't want to say it in the interview.
Right.
So there were certain things in there that basically hinted at, this is the same player. He's playing the same kind of game. He's doing the same things he did his entire time in the AHL. He was just looking for an opportunity. And, man, I mean, it's just kind of jarring to the system to think how far that young man has come from not being in the conversation to, yeah, I think he could play more on the first line between Schwartz and Tarasenko.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention Zach Sanford, who I thought played another really responsible game yesterday, and he's on that line with Steen and Sobotka, where they're, I mean, that's the stopper line.
If Ken Hitchcock was still the head coach of the St. Louis Blues.
Not in a million years.
Let me get the question out. Would Zach Sanford still be in the lineup, or would Yuri Lehterä be in there?
You know, I saw a quote yesterday morning. I think it was in a Tom Timmerman story where Lehterä was asked about him not playing. He said he's healthy as a horse, was the phrase that Lehterä used. And he was asked about his being scratched. And Lehterä said, and I don't, you know, I'm sure he was half kidding. He said, I guess it's a big secret. And it's not that big a secret.
What's a big secret?
I mean, yeah, it's not that big a secret that he has not been a productive player for two seasons, and that Zach Sanford has been relentless on the forecheck and a real, you know, he's playing on the second power play unit. I mean, look, Sanford has been fantastic in this series.
Memo to Mr. Ed. Maybe you should try galloping instead of just trotting out there.
Yeah, I understand that it's a rough situation in Lehterä's shoes because, you know, say what you want about these guys. He knows how much money he's making and how much money other people are making.
$4.7 million.
And he understands, I'm sure, the expectations that come along with that. And to be a healthy scratch in the playoffs is not fun for a guy in that position.
Yeah, it's something hard to swallow.
But
sure.
It is commendable that the coaching staff recognized that opportunity, because, you know, we talk about game one and how the Blues just barely held on, and part of that was because there was no pressure on the forecheck, because there was no speed coming into the offensive zone, and Sanford brings that in a way that Lehterä just doesn't.
You hit the nail on the head, though, when you said that it's refreshing that the coaches can see the situation and make, I think, what you could call a challenging decision.
Yeah.
And
because there's no way that the previous coaching staff didn't see it.
Right.
Right. There's no way. You can't watch this team and watch Yuri Lehterä trudge around the ice like he's skating in sand.
It was more hope rather than confidence that something was going to happen. We hope Yuri Lehterä can come through. We don't know if he can.
The week before Ken Hitchcock was fired, I was with the team in Minnesota, and I asked him because Lehterä
and
Tarasenko.
You made him mad with that question.
I did. Lehterä and Tarasenko had been separated at that point for a while, and they were back together for a morning skate. And I asked him what he had seen of Lehterä to make him think that he and Tarasenko together would break each other out, because Tarasenko wasn't scoring either at that point. So I asked what he had seen to make him think that would break them out of a scoring slump, and he like demonstrably rolled his eyes at me inside, and then went into this diatribe about how they have a history together, and in the past they've produced. At this point, we're talking about ancient history, because when they were producing together, like, Ryan Miller was the goalie, right? So
that's not exactly last week. I think fans would get so frustrated with those coaching decisions and the insanity, literal insanity, of putting 12 back with 91 and like they were married at the hip. And I joke that Tarasenko was getting tired of giving Yuri Laterra a piggyback ride every shift out on there on the ice, and that maybe sometimes, you know, you just put him behind him and he'd water ski. He'd hold the back of Tarasenko's jersey and just let Tarasenko drag him down the ice. Like you said, fans saw it. Fans could not get their heads around it. There was the narrative about playing together in the KHL and how they were fast friends and that they complimented each other.
And that is the part that is challenging, because like any other job, there are interpersonal components that come into play.
Like, but when you hire your best friend as your head coach and your general manager?
Yeah, something like that. And so there is, I'm sure, a degree of, or was at least, a degree of concern about how Tarasenko reacts in a world where Laterra gets marginalized. But, you know, whether or not Mike Yeo has had to have that awkward conversation with Tarasenko, or whether or not Tarasenko at this point even can recognize that something ain't working.
He has to. And Tarasenko's starting point in any conversation that you ever hear him say publicly is, it's what's best for the team.
Right.
Team first. We love playing for you fans here in St. Louis, but team first.
And so then you almost wonder how much of that, maybe, you know, of that potential deference to him was coming from the coaching staff and not from the player, right?
Fear from the coaching staff.
You wonder if Hitchcock was worried, how does Vladdy react if Laterra's role is minimized? We better not do that, and didn't really consider how the player himself would actually react.
Have we covered, by the way, the latest Ken Hitchcock news on the radio? I think we talked about it as it was going to happen, but then he was introduced probably after our last show last week.
Yeah.
So Ken Hitchcock, once again, for the second time in his career, is the oldest coach in the National Hockey League. He's the newest head coach, old head coach, new head coach, new coach once again for your Dallas Stars. And the photo opportunity at the end of last week was amazing. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, we tweeted it out and put a joke with it. And there's just so many things going on in that photo. So you have Ken Hitchcock in the middle, and he's holding up a Stars jersey that could fit a small horse, I think. I mean, it is gigantic. It took a lot of material to make this. Well,
so when you buy the replica jerseys, because it's got the tag on the front that's got the size.
Uh huh. How many X's are on that size?
I was wondering if they maybe like took the tag off.
Yeah, they might. Yeah. They might. So it says the nameplate is Hitchcock, and it says 17. And I think there are a few jokes. Was it a 17XL? How many games in before the players around him are going to hate him? 17 games. Probably, I bet the under.
The picture of him, are you talking about getting the picture of him with the four players?
Uh-huh. And so Sagan's there, Ben's there, Spezza's there, and who was the fourth guy?
I don't remember.
Some Dallas Stars guy. Not one of them really is smiling. The awkwardness.
Spezza seemed like he was pretty happy.
No, he was not smiling. You're sugarcoating it there, Matt Davis.
It was grimacing.
There were some frowns going on. And I put a fake caption
You know what? Yesterday was Easter.
Yeah.
Here's it's like when Easter dinner is over and everyone is trying to leave and everyone's eating and they're tired and they want to go home, and grandma says, wait, hold on, we all have to get a picture. And then everyone has to stand and wait for a picture with grandma, and you get this look on your face like, okay, take the picture, please.
You know, self-preservation of million-dollar hockey players should dictate that you know when to smile for a dang photo, because I mean, if Hitchcock's going to look at that later and say, wow, those guys really don't look forward to playing for me, I'll show them.
Maybe none of them had their dentures in.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. You never know. But it's going to be a culture shock there down in Dallas beginning next season. That training camp and exhibition games in the first month of the season for Dallas is going to be quite the show to watch.
And by the way, they still have two goalies that they can't dump.
That make, a combined like almost $10 million?
Yeah, I think $9.9 million total between the two.
That's hilarious.
Do you think he has any chance of doing anything down there? No. Taking them anywhere?
No.
I mean,
no.
The team is more talented than they showed this season. So
oh, yeah.
If Hitchcock comes in next season and all of a sudden they end up finishing second or third in the division or even winning the division,
I mean, that wouldn't be that big of a surprise.
Right. That would not be a shock. So is that Hitchcock doing something? I don't know. I can see that happening.
I said this when you guys first talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think, but I really don't see the players accepting him into the fold all that well. You got guys like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin especially. I don't see it.
The only way for the Dallas Stars for this to work for them is if Ken Hitchcock talks Martin Brodeur to be his goaltender coach. Otherwise, I don't see it.
Jim Corsi is available.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, ring the sound the horn on that one. You're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2, streaming live on InsideSTL.com. Remember, you can hear even more of us later on today on the Hollywood Casino Press Box from 10 to noon here on 590 The Fan. Hopefully, the signal will work for the entirety of that show. Like I mentioned before, the podcast is already up with the first hour, so if you're just waking up or your car radio did not catch us because the signal was all messed up, I could have dropped a curse word there and I didn't, messed up.
Attaboy.
So come back and podcast the first hour. We got to work in a couple of their sponsors. So we mentioned that we're going to be at Tim Hortons on Thursday. I want to mention two sponsors with the paper that we sell outside every Blues home game. Game Time the paper, Game Time the magazine. Funny aside before I mention two sponsors. Everybody calls this publication that we have that's in its continuing a 22-year tradition outside every Blues home game. Everyone calls it something different. I call it a paper because I'm a newspaper guy at heart and was a newspaper reporter and editor for 8 years. And so I call it a paper. When I sell the paper, I call it a program. I say Game Time program. And it's a program because in the middle, it's got the stats and the rosters and everything. And you can just fold it in half. And if you don't know who wears number 91 on the Blues because you only go to playoff games, then you can figure out that's Vladimir Tarasenko.
Did you get your game day program yesterday?
My game day program? What's that?
The free one that was about 4x4 inches that they passed out.
I did not get one of those.
You really didn't get one yesterday on the way into the game?
No.
Yeah, they were passing out game day programs yesterday at Scott Trade for free.
So on a little card, and the game time program is 28 pages in the playoffs. Color on the front and back, which was awesome. I mean, that thing popped yesterday. It was like a spring floral bouquet we were selling outside every game. But then our friend Mookie, who sells tickets on the corner, he calls it the book. I know our head vendor calls it Game Time Magazine. I mean, we just call it everything and everything you can think of. It's a publication, so whatever. Check us out Wednesday night before the game.
Hey, who makes that publication? Who creates it?
Our friends at CopyTech. CopyTech, kind of in North County. I'm not sure how else you would describe. They're just south of Page between 170 and Lindbergh. CopyTech, it's all about hashtag print envy. CopyTech is the digital offset printer pioneering a new reality of printing in St. Louis and beyond. They're easy to work with. They have quick delivery, quick turnaround time. The knowledge to do it, 30 years in St. Louis and counting. CopyTech, it's with two Ks, K-O-P-Y-T-E-K, CopyTech.com. I tell you what, they are not open on the weekends. They made a special arrangement. They had a guy come in just for us, basically, to print on Saturday. We couldn't print on Easter. That's no worries. So I kind of stayed up almost all night on Friday to do the paper. I had the file to them, I think, 9:30 on Saturday morning. And that sucker was done by 11 a.m. I mean, they are fast on turnaround. And man, the print quality on that thing yesterday was sharp. So if you have any printing needs, photos, a memory book, stuff from Facebook or Pinterest, whatever, or you have a brochure or a presentation that you want and you want to look professional, talk to the folks at CopyTech.com and they will help you out.
Perhaps you went on a scuba diving trip and took pictures.
So say you want to learn how to scuba dive. Our friends at Waikiki Divers, and that's Y-K-I-K-I Divers, Y-K-I-K-I.com. Waikiki Divers, they have been bleeding blue since 1989, let me tell you. They have two locations, and they have classes, they have equipment, they take trips. If you follow them on Facebook, you can see the amazing photos. They go down in the Caribbean and do all sorts of scuba trips, and every picture, man, they're everyone on the trip is having an amazing time. They're just smiles in every single picture.
It's really hard to be upset with a scuba tank on your back.
Yeah, in crystal blue waters in the Caribbean, the sun, the palm trees, the sand. It's amazing. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to scuba dive, if you want to get certified, if you want to take it to the next level and take some expert classes.
Say you're Ryan White and all of a sudden you're planning a vacation.
Are you saying Ryan White dives?
Oh, I wasn't, but now I like it. I did that.
So Waikiki Divers, they've been in the paper a long time, longer than I've been running the paper. They have two locations, Creve Coeur. Call them at 314-469-8722, 314-469-8722. Or you can reach them at their South County location, 314-843-0354, 843-0354. Or just find them at y-kiki.com, and you can find where they are, their classes, and all their equipment. So thank you to both those guys, the Tim at CopyTech, Ken and his wife, and Elvis, the dive Buddha at Waikiki. Great, great people, great friends, and great friends of the paper, and great blues fans. What's next on the agenda? Should we mention what's happening in the other series, maybe? You know, we can't just talk about the Blues and Wild for two straight hours, can we?
The poor Blue Jackets.
Last week, when we had Adam Minnick on, and we were previewing the playoffs, I said that that was one series where I know the league wants Washington and Pittsburgh to face off in the next round, because that's just the end-all be-all of television ratings and Ovechkin versus Crosby. And
I will say, in terms of television ratings, you're correct. I do think that the league would be happy with either outcome, because the Leafs winning a playoff series is also, I think, big.
Yeah, they would love the Leafs, but they want Pittsburgh to win that at all costs, and it's 3-0, and man, you see the guy take the puck to the face. Who was that?
Zach Werenski.
Yeah, the picture. He couldn't play in overtime because his eye was swelled shut. Well, and he couldn't see.
I'll retweet, because I tweeted it last night from my account. Brutal. I'll retweet it from the Game Time account. It's rough. Like, you know, the Blue Jackets have the best season in team history. They make tremendous strides in sort of developing a presence in the community, and then they run into the Penguins, and they're just getting buzzsawed. Like, the Penguins don't have Letang, they don't have Matt Murray. And they're running the Blue Jackets out of the building. I just feel bad for them. Like, it's a bummer. The Blue Jackets take a 3-1 lead 6 minutes into the game last night and end up losing 5-4 in overtime.
That is that's a gut
at
punch.
Home.
Yeah, that's a gut punch. So, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets only have a couple of playoff wins in franchise history. They have their best season ever. I mean, they had the, 16-game winning streak during the regular season and really put themselves up in the upper echelon, the top crust of the Eastern Conference. They draw Pittsburgh in the first round, and they are not long for these playoffs, unfortunately.
Nope.
And I, you know, like I said last week, as a Blues fan, I can relate where, you know, your team used to be an expansion team, and you don't have a lot of that playoff success, and you don't have a shiny trophy in the trophy case for the team, and you just want your team to be relevant. You want to go on a playoff run. You see fans from other teams going to the second and third round year after year, and you're like, man, I want that. And you get to this situation like, all right, let's knock off the Penguins and see how far we can go. And they're down 3-0. I mean, that's demoralizing.
Yep.
Talk about the Washington Capitals and Toronto Maple Leafs. That game on Saturday night was kind of crazy. It went to double overtime, the first double overtime game of the playoffs.
We got our first viral hero of the playoffs. Did you see Dartman?
Dartman?
Yeah.
No. Who was
it? You missed Dartman.
No, I did. No, I didn't. I did. It was in that story.
Yeah, there was a gentleman who drove down from Waterloo, Ontario, who shaved his head into the shape of the Stanley Cup across the top of his head, shaved Leafs into the hair on the back of his head, painted his face with a maple leaf, and was so nervous that he was dangling Canadian cigarettes from his lips the entire time he was watching the game in Washington.
In the non-smoking arena, yeah.
Right.
It wasn't lit. He thought about lighting it up, but he didn't. Funny story. His story was told in the DC Sports Blog, which is a column with the Washington Post, that I was actually quoted in, but not given credit for initially. Can you tell that story?
So Dan Steinberg, who runs the DC Sports Blog, posted his blog the next morning about the reaction. And he apparently hopped down out of the press box in D.C. and ran into the stands and tracked this guy down and interviewed him and got all the information. Which, I mean, good for this guy because now the Leafs are hooking him up for Game 3 and there's a radio host in Toronto that's hooked him up for Game 4. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's all of a sudden the mascot.
He's Tony X.
He is Tony X. He is Tony X for Leafs Nation as of now. But yeah, Dan had collected a bunch of reaction from around the internet, as it were.
What was the other storyline of that game? The sound, right?
Yes. The Capitals passed out 21,000 cowbells.
Not just like a cowbell that you play if you're in Blue Oyster Cult.
Right.
In a band. It was actually, you know,
handheld cowbells that you
ring back and forth.
And it sounded like any number of things. I heard cicadas a lot.
A swarm of cicadas.
Yeah. There were a couple of times I was watching that game and I would get distracted by something on my computer and I would hear in the background, I'm like, is my fridge making a weird sound? No, it was the cowbells rolling through the TV, and as Brad astutely pointed out through the Game Time Twitter, it sounded a little bit like the Capitals and Maple Leafs were playing hockey inside of a slot machine.
Because it just sounded like coins were like falling from the sky and just clattering down.
And that quote made it unsourced into the Washington Post on Saturday morning, and I noticed it. I texted Brad immediately and said, looks like somebody was reading, and then quote tweeted it and not so subtly said, hey, thanks for reading. We'd be happy to have you give us credit next time. And to Dan's credit, he apologized in a right hurry. You know, it's 1 a.m. I shouldn't have done that. And then immediately edited the story. So to his credit, made it right immediately. But it was,
and we weren't rude about it. We just kind of mentioned, hey, thanks for using our joke. We thought it was a funny joke too. We kind of would have liked to get credit for it.
Text from our buddy Johnny Utah, by the way.
Yeah,
just texted my phone to say, he's an international hero, # persecuted smoker. So thanks for listening, Chris
Man.
Gardner. I know that you have a love for, yes, for fellow smokers.
Yeah, so interesting storylines throughout the NHL. We kind of touched on it earlier. The Western Conference just looks, it's almost like there's a new world order.
A little topsy-turvy.
Yeah, so there's the top of the Western Conference is kind of toppling at the moment. And
all of a sudden, Zach Cassian in Edmonton is an unstoppable force.
Oh, my
gosh. He scores the only goal in the game last night.
He had the shorthanded breakaway the other night, and then he was hitting guys. I mean, he was like flying through the air and targeting guys' heads and wasn't getting called. I mean, he was a man possessed.
And I have to look because I wondered because there's a Zach Cassian and a Matt Cassian, but it was Zach Cassian who struggled big time with substance abuse. I mean, he was drinking himself basically out of the NHL.
Yeah.
And over the last year has gotten sober, has gotten his career together, and I mean, he's an unstoppable wrecking ball for the Oilers at this point.
He's kind of the poster child for a little bit of an undercurrent with the NHL and players and having issues. And, you know, he kind of, in his career, has been kind of one of the tough guys, a mucker and grinder who plays a physical game. And, you know, off the ice, you kind of have a persona. And some of those guys that play that way have had an issue with living up to what you project on the ice and what you project off the ice.
And a lot of those, you know, when you've seen these really tragic stories about these guys in the NHL who have died way too young, these guys like Derek Bugard and Wade Bielak and Rick Rippon, a lot of these guys struggled in part with depression, but in part with substance abuse. And, you know, Zach Cassian was sort of headed down that path and has reclaimed it.
So Big Al is not texting into the inbox. He's not calling in. He's texting my phone.
Well, he had texted the inbox a couple of times.
And you didn't read him?
Well, it's more that I don't really know how to read a meme or read a picture from the paper on the air.
So there's a picture in today's Post-Dispatch, and it's a crowd shot. And there's a young girl. She's probably about one, maybe not even one. And she's wearing bunny ears, but then also these giant pink ear protectors for the sound of the crowd yesterday at the game. And the text says that he found Laterra at the game, insinuating that Laterra is this young girl wearing these giant pink earphones and the bunny ears.
So that was, yes, basically you did what I was trying to figure out how to do or not do, which is read a picture.
That guy is tenacious. Big Al will get on the show one way or the other. If he can't get in the text box, he'll just start texting my phone. So
and
thank you for listening, Big Al. We appreciate it. I think I think that
and real quick, fan of Frank texts in all caps to say, why would you give Al your number with 9 question marks? Because Al is a Patriot.
You got a back rub from Big Al, right?
Yeah, no, and in fact, I feel bad because I gave Big Al my number and it has since changed, and so now he's going to think I gave him a dummy number.
I'll give you Big Al's number, and you can text him with your current number. That'll work. That's give it out on the air unless you want us to.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Al, go ahead and text in if you want us to go ahead and read your number out on the air.
No, I was going to read your number on the air.
Oh, I mean that.
You're gonna get pantsless McGuire at all times of night if we get.
I mean, knock on. Now that you've said it, it's about to show up. But knock on wood, we don't really get those that much. You know, Beef Momo does not get up at this time of day, and Tony Doe, I guess, is busy. So,
why don't we get the music ready for our normal segment that we have here on Game Time AM, where we make fun of a certain page on Facebook? It's time for the Bad Blues Lounge post of the day.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
So, there's a little bit of a battle on Facebook where we've been banned from the Blues Lounge, and there are some scorching hot takes that happen on the Blues Lounge. And so we have spies. We rely on espionage to get posts smuggled out. We got our daily download this morning. Let me tell you how many pages. We got 248 pages on a PDF this morning.
Pretty good.
From our friend Steve, who is in the Blues Lounge, and he sends this stuff out. So in bulk, I have to scroll through a little bit, but man, you find some nuggets. So like this one is from Josh D, and he writes, "Glad Allen ain't MIA anymore and is back to his old self." Glad Allen ain't MIA anymore and is back to his old self.
That sounds like a folksy gentleman who would probably be friends with my buddy Russ here, who had commented on a post on the Blues Lounge. And Russ is apparently from Springfield, Missouri, because there was a post on the lounge where someone was missing Yuri Laterra.
Oh,
and
poor guy.
And a reasonable gentleman named Gary says, "You're the only person who feels that way." And Russ pipes in here and says, "Not down here in Springfield. Everyone I know loves Laterra and his works ethic. Stanford right now looks way nervous."
Oh, my.
There was no punctuation in that.
That's a horrible take. So going back to mine real quick. So getting past using eight and everything, saying that Jake Allen is back to his old self. When in the entire life of one Jake Allen has he ever played at this level, Jeff Jones? Ever?
I mean, he was probably a really good peewee goalie.
If you make
it to the NHL as a goaltender, you're probably a great peewee goalie.
So as a mighty mite, he was playing at this level. So he's back to his old self, his peewee level of hockey. That is insane.
Yeah.
To not recognize that Jake Allen hasn't just upped his game and improved and become a goaltender like he's never been a goaltender before. He's goaltending like he's never goaltended before.
Because, by the way, the knock on Jake Allen has been, aside from the positioning and whatnot, has been his ability to show up in big games. Because when he played
in the playoffs,
in the World Juniors, even for Canada, going back that far, and then in the playoffs, he was not that great. There was a play yesterday that gave me like PTSD flashbacks. Zucker comes flying down the wing, throws the shot off Allen's pad, and goes to gather the rebound, and it was identical to that backbreaking goal he scored against the Blues when the Blues played the Wild 2 years ago, except this time Allen pushed post to post, and the defenseman tracked Zucker around the net, and he didn't even get a clean second shot. But it was identical, and it was like, oh my God, like, you know, that is the play that you fear going into the series if you're a Blues fan, and they shut it down.
I do have to mention one more thing from the Blues Lounge, and it's actually, there are some funny things in the Blues Lounge. Not everyone in the Blues Lounge is a hot take master. There's one here. He took a picture of his TV screen, and it's Colton Parayko celebrating, and he's kind of up against the glass, kind of banging on the glass, kind of celebrating with the fans on the other side of the glass. It's kind of like the fish in the fish tank. You tap the glass, and the fish, you know, taps back. There's a guy in the front row at the game yesterday, and I actually saw this guy in the concourse. He's wearing a white sweater with lots of blue and yellow on it. It's a Buffalo Sabre sweater.
Pretty good.
He's celebrating the Blues goal. He's banging his arms on the glass. He's happy in his Buffalo Sabres jersey. You know, I wonder if it's a Ryan Miller jersey. Well, I can't see the back.
I was sitting here thinking, trying to think if there are any Blues that are former Sabres, and I don't believe there are.
Jochen Hecht. He could be a Jochen Hecht fan.
Yeah, that's true.
William Carrier?
Oh, yeah. Current Sabre former. I got to interview William Carrier. Or actually, apparently, by the way, it's Carrier, which I did not know. He uses a French pronunciation. I didn't know that either until I
talked
talk
about
him
on TV yet, so I haven't heard
his name. So I got to talk to him in Washington, and it was very awkward because there weren't a lot of Blues connections in Buffalo either, so he was the guy that I grabbed, and I asked him if he had a lot of any memories. You know, he'd been here much, and he was like, no, I went to a Cardinals game. He was like, I was in St. Louis for like 3 days one time for development camp, and that was pretty much it. And I was like, oh, okay. Real quick, a text from the 314 asking if our buddy Russ from the Blues Lounge said Sanford or Stanford. He said Stanford. Not me. That was Russ.
We're just reading. Red. We read copy. We find the hot takes. We read copy.
Speaking of reading copy.
Yeah. I need to get to that. We will.
Okay.
So, you know, thanks for sending us stuff from the Blues Lounge. It is amazing the stuff that pops up on that website. So, you know, we can't see it, so we rely on our spies to send us stuff. So mentioning we need to get to a sponsor here real quick. So last Wednesday night we had a watch party for game one, 8:30 p.m. start. 8:45 p.m. start. We were out a ways out, my neck of the woods. You complain about the distance, but
I would never complain about the distance of a sponsor. They are conveniently located
in O'Fallon. We're talking about Two Shamrocks Public House. It's an kind of an Irish themed restaurant. They have lots of Irish stuff. John, one of the people who runs the place along with our friend Sarah, has an Irish background, and there's lots of Irish stuff, but there's lots of other great stuff. So we like to say that it's a good restaurant where it's also a great place to catch the game. So they have a lot of Irish things on the menu, Irish nachos that are actually made with homemade potato chips. They have shepherd's pie, Reubens. They make their own corned beef, Jeff. And corned beef and cabbage is on the menu year-round, not just on St. Patrick's Day. So if you have an itch for some good corned beef and cabbage, homemade corned beef, check out Two Shamrocks. They are south side of O'Fallon, in front of the YMCA, over there, just off of Highway K. They are not a freezer-to-fryer restaurant, mostly made from scratch. They've been around since 2012. So, you know, they've got a strong track record. And I got to tell you, last Wednesday, that place was packed.
It was legitimately like a really fun place to watch the game last
Wednesday. Yeah, they have a horn in the back, and to start the game, they started doing the three blasts, and everybody in the restaurant started, you know, let's go Blues in response.
And there's a very attractive framed picture of Frank on the wall.
Yeah, back by the restroom. We need to get a picture from our friend Stephen Walden. Funny aside, after we mentioned all the good stuff at Two Shamrocks, so they have a happy hour 3 to 7, and then during games, $5 pitchers and $8.99 boneless wings, all you can eat during the game, and like 5 different flavors. Great place to catch the game, Two Shamrocks.
I snagged some of those boneless, and I snagged some of the Irish nachos as well when we were out there last Wednesday, and it was really fantastic. And this is, and you know, it reminded me of a place, and this is going to be a shout out to old school listeners listening over on the old 618 side. If anybody remembers Castletown Gohagan, which used to exist in downtown Belleville, very, very legit Irish place with great Irish food, but an awesome place to watch a game and hang out. Reminded me of that. So it was a very, very cool place to spend time watching the game.
So we had some door prizes that we gave away for answering Blues trivia, hockey trivia on Wednesday night. And one of the prizes was a print of a painting from our friend Stephen Walden, stephenwalden.com, Stephen with a V. He's a local painter here in St. Louis who paints actually 3D paintings. And he has been at the Blues game a couple times, and I think maybe Cardinals stuff, where he'll actually paint live, like on the concourse, where you can watch him paint and create a painting. And he was on the road on Saturday night at
are we gonna out him?
He was at the United Center. You know, hey, they pay him to paint there. You know, he paints mostly St. Louis stuff. He's got a bunch of paintings from Adam Wainwright, Yadier Molina. He's got some cool Ozzie Smith doing a backflip in the air. The 3D just jumps off that painting. It's awesome. He does a lot of Blues stuff with Tarasenko and Ryan Reeves and all that stuff. But he also has done some Blackhawk stuff. And so they had him paint a picture with Johnny Taves and Patty Kane at the game on Saturday night. And it's amazing. There's like snow coming up at the bottom of the painting, and the 3D, it really jumps off. It's a very nice painting if you can get past the subjects of the painting. So he posted on Facebook next to the painting when it was done, and he was very proud of it. And I got to tell you, the artistic value of the painting is awesome.
I was impressed by the monetary value of the painting.
Yeah, I had to chime in, though. he scored more on the canvas than the Hawks did on the ice that night because they got shut out again. And he responded. He said he was waiting for that one. So that was a cool moment where I could kind of give a dig at the Blackhawks and still admire
for sure
our friend's artwork.
A couple of things I want to hit in the text box real quick. Our buddy Abe Froman texts in to say that the Reuben at Two Shamrocks is pretty much the best he's ever had.
Awesome.
Yeah, way to go.
Thanks
way
for sampling.
Way to hop at that. Dr. Woody Bender texting in to say, guys, would it be fair to say that Jake Allen is goaltending like the Dickens, and he wants us to ring the hot take bell. So
like the Dickens.
Indeed. And then he called us boy pigs, which I don't know how I feel about that necessarily. The KC Hoosier texting in to say that there are folks in the STL Today Blues Forum whose hot take consists of asking for Hutton to start game four because the Wild are done, so you may as well give Allen some rest. That is quite a hot take.
If I had the microphone situated a little differently, I would have banged my forehead on the microphone.
Yeah.
In frustration, because that is amazing.
And Stephen Wildwood texting in to point out that he had Ram season tickets, hashtag bless. And there was a guy who came in full Vikings gear every single game. You know, there are
for the Rams?
For the Rams. There are some people. There is a gentleman who I have seen at Blues games for, and I've not seen him for a while, so I don't know if maybe
the helmet?
No.
There's a Viking helmet guy.
There is a Viking. Yeah. And actually, I did see that guy outside yesterday. But no, there was an older gentleman who wore jean shorts and a Montreal Canadiens jersey to every single Blues game.
In December.
In December.
In December.
Every game, the jorts and the Canadiens jersey.
Actually, that dude's pretty cool if you ever have a beer with him.
Yeah, he seemed very deep. I don't know the guy. I just saw him plenty.
You go to enough Blues games, you start seeing some of the same folks over and over, and you meet them. And sometimes they don't live up to your expectations. Other times, like for instance, if you ever meet our friend Red Berenson Cowboy, he's wearing a Red Berenson jersey.
And popped by the tailgate yesterday.
Yeah, he did, on crutches. We gave him a beer, so he stopped by. So yeah, Red Berenson Ralph is amazing. He tells a funny story about how he came to actually a watch party that we had at Hot Shots, friend of the show. And we said, you've had a little much to drink. Are you okay? He said, oh yeah, the wife's driving. But, you know, she's fine, but we're going to take the back way to Illinois anyway, just in case.
Did they canoe?
I don't know the back way to Illinois. I've meant to ask him what the back way to Illinois is. I've never gotten around to that.
I can get you across the river without getting on the interstate. Like, it's not that hard. But, yeah. I did want to point out, I got to meet John Ehrenberg yesterday. That was pretty exciting. Definitely a friend of the show here. We got to meet our friend Abby and her dad yesterday. Her dad, very notable for... He was the gentleman who held up the sign. Held that sign up for the Stars warmups. They dropped by the tailgate yesterday. So a bunch of folks dropped by.
So I've been handed a note here that we need to get off the air at a certain point. So whenever you think we need to start wrapping up the show, there, Matt Davis, just start playing the music and we'll get off the air.
Three stars.
Yeah, we gotta get to the three stars. Okay, so let's do the three stars. So three stars of the show. I'm going to throw bone to Hockey Bob, third star of the show.
Who needs his t-shirt, by the way?
I know. I will get on that today. We'll focus on some stuff. We'll talk to our friends at 314 Threads.
Second star, I will give the attendees at the Game Time tailgate yesterday. Had a fantastic time talking show, talking pucks.
And we're gonna go intercontinental here. We're going to go the other side of the country and give Ken in Baltimore number one star. That might be our first out-of-state listener phone call in the eight weeks in one show we've had on the air.
And so if you want your name said on the radio with some cool organ music embedded below it, all you got to do is ring up the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're going to have to get out of here. Man, 2 hours has flown by, even though we were on the air for a little while.
Well, good news, because we got two more.
Yeah, so join us at 10 o'clock on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Jeff and I will be back talking more hockey. We'll probably talk about the Cardinals. Yay. So, all right, we got to get out of here for TMA. This has been Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS St. Louis. Good morning. Hey.